Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi folks, welcome to episode 14 of the Epochs of the Lotus Eaters. I'm joined by Beau, and today we're going to be talking about a Roman emperor I actually don't know very much about, I'm going to be honest. Domitian is not one of those emperors that I've spent a lot of time studying, and so preparing for this, I had a quick look over his Wikipedia page to see what I was missing, and man, I feel like I should have done more work into Domitian, because he sounds like a very interesting fellow.
Interesting is one word, I suppose.
It is one word.
I mean, he's known as one of the bad ones, although he's not, as he does have some redeeming features, and we can talk about maybe how his memory has been
damned.
Yeah.
So who considered him to be bad?
Well, Tacitus.
Right.
So the main sources we have really are Tacitus, although he doesn't talk directly about him all that much because Tacitus's annals and history are both fragmentary, right. And the bits about Domitian aren't really intact, but we've got all of Suetonius. Suetonius wrote the 12 Caesars, mm-hmm. and Domitian is the last of those 12, so we've got a full life from Suetonius.
So. Right, and so I understand it that he was popular with the people, but not with the Senate, because essentially the thing that strikes me from it is the fact that he seemed to have overridden the Senate's authority entirely.
Yeah.
As a way of understating it.
Yeah. He was very unpopular with the nobility. I mean, well, it was part of how he... So to put it in some context, he's the mm-hmm. second son of Vespasian. And where we talked about in the other Epochs episodes, the year of the four emperors, 69 mm-hmm. AD, that ends with Vespasian in 70 AD. He was a military ruler. Mm-hmm. So he's really done away with Augustus's principate, sort of, largely. It's no, there's no, even though Augustus and his heirs were warlords, they were still on paper, they were supposed to be ruling by consent. Mm. They were still supposed
they were
to
meant to be first citizens.
Exactly,
they, yeah.
Yeah, not exactly emperors or kings, but merely the princeps, first among citizens kind of thing.
Is Domitian the first person to change this? Because I understand that he essentially declared himself like the god emperor of Rome.
Yeah. So where Vespasian sort of does away with really the last vestiges of the Republic, where people can still sort of claim we might be heading back to a Republic one day soon, maybe. Yeah. Vespasian is just the end of that. We're just military rulers now. Right. And his son, Titus, who's supposed to have been one of the extremely good emperors, mm-hmm. Only lasts for a couple of years. And then he dies childless, and it passes to his younger brother, this Domitian, who rules for quite a while. Is it sort of 14 years or 16 years? Quite a while. And he's despotic. He's not quite as crazy as Caligula or Nero, or nowhere near, actually. But he is a baddie. You know, he's one of the bad ones because he introduces all sorts of... All sorts of extortions that he brings in, and murders, political murders, and also sort of brings in a society of sort of informers, where people have to inform. There's lots of censorship. Right. That's why I thought it might be apt or poignant for us today, because Tacitus lived through the age of Domitian. He rises to extreme prominence and power just after Domitian, but his early career would have been during Domitian. He was a senator during the days of Domitian, so he describes a lot about what it's like to live under a censorious tyranny.
We know all about that these days.
So Tacitus's writing has become prescient again, I think.
Okay, so where to begin with Domitian then?
Well, maybe just start with sort of his early life, or maybe a bit about Vespasian and Titus. So Vespasian was obviously a bit of a cliche or a trope to say, but a great man in the sense that it was this individual personality that sort of rose up through the ranks. And he wasn't fantastically rich or aristocratic. He was kind of, they weren't from nothing at all. Yeah. But so, for example, there's a line in Suetonius. So most of the quotes in this first bit we're taking from Suetonius. It says most people agree that Domitian spent a poverty-stricken and rather degraded youth without even silver on the family table.
Oh, God, he must have been in dire straits.
Yeah.
Doesn't even have the family silverware.
Yeah, yeah. So that's sort of uncommon, though, for sort of a prince. Well, he wasn't a prince to begin with. Yeah. His father was simply an important soldier, no sure. more than that.
But then he became the emperor. Right?
Became emperor. So that's unusual from the age of Augustus onwards. You wouldn't have had Roman princes that wouldn't have...
Born to the purple.
Exactly, yeah. So to have a poverty-stricken childhood is rare. But maybe it's an interesting point to say that we talked about how perhaps Caligula or Nero, if you were raised in extremely opulent fashion, it lends itself to having no perspective on life and people and money. Well, even Domitian, it seems, didn't really help that he came from humble beginnings. But as I say, he's not as bad as those. But we can get into that exactly. Another thing from his childhood, which I think's really important, and I do this on a fair few of my videos, is talk about a little bit of sort of psychology, the armchair psychology. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's something in someone's childhood or early life that's so pivotal that it seems silly to ignore it.
Yeah.
So where we talked about that Vespasian took over from Vitellius during the year of the four emperors, it wasn't completely smooth. Vitellius just didn't completely give in. There was backwards and forwards. There was battles and fighting and street battles and things. Anyway, Domitian, when he was a boy or a teenager, was sort of hunted down by Vitellius's men at one point.
Right, okay.
Vespasian and Titus were out in the east gathering their forces, but Domitian, as a much younger man, like a teenager, was still sort of having his education in Rome. And so at one point, Vitellius's faction come for him in the palace or somewhere, and he hides a couple of times, like completely for his life. If they caught him, he would definitely have been killed. At one point, he has to sort of flee across the Tiber, and then he's hidden in the house of some peasant woman. And even though Vitellius's troops come in and apparently search it from cellar to rafters, somehow they don't find him. Oof. Just luckily against the odds, he's somehow... So anyway... and he goes
That must have been terrifying.
Right.
That must have been absolutely... Right. Especially if you're a teenager. Mm. And just, my dad's doing something and now there are men hunting me. Which is something that happened a lot in the old world, you know, in the old days. Mm. But anyway.
Well, I can think of other examples where that happened to people. And, it makes for quite sort of a serious adult. You know, there's no... Mm. Like, your childhood... There's no time for childish things. They have to be put aside. And you have to grow up quite fast. Become... you'd be a much more brutal person than someone alive today that didn't happen to.
Well, you know? Yeah. No,
you'd be much
absolutely.
More inclined to just be off with their heads because, you know, it nearly happened to you.
Kind of thing. This is the game and this is how it's played, and it's been played since I was a child.
I think of William the Conqueror, when he was a small child, he had to be sort of spirited away a couple of times because people were trying to murder him. Well, I mean, what kind of psychology does that make for you? Know?
Well, it's fundamentally Machiavelli's dictum when it comes to hereditary politics, isn't it? You know, as Machiavelli wrote in The Prince, if you're going to take somewhere over, you've got to not only kill the ruling prince, but also his entire family, so that resistance can't form around them. And that was a truism of the ancient world, and not even the ancient world, of just hereditary politics. That's always going to be the case. But anyway...
Well, there's one bit because apparently Vespasian, or everyone knew that Domitian was sort of not really cut out for the role.
Right.
He was just known as dissolute or sort of even cruel even in early life. Or rather, his older brother Titus was, if you believe the accounts, is like the shining paragon of virtue. It's so much so that you think, it's been exaggerated. Hmm. For sort of literary effect, but Titus is supposed to be, unless you're Jewish, because he burnt down Jerusalem, unless you're Jewish, everyone thought of him as just this great guy, brilliant in every possible way, really well read, a great general, etc. And so it was clear to Vespasian, who reached the purple relatively old, I mean, he still ruled for quite a while himself, about 10 years, but it was obvious that Titus was going to take over. And Tacitus gives us a great speech. He puts a great speech into the mouth of Titus, where he talks about how family is the most important thing. It's just a really nice, good speech that a great leader, a good person would make. Mm. And it's to juxtapose it really to Domitian, how he's just not that. He's sort of cruel and venal, rotten, really. corrupt. But there's one line that's towards the end in Suetonius, but I think it says a lot about at least the Roman conception a generation or two after about Domitian, if not the actual reality of the man. It says, on his accession, Domitian boasted to the Senate of having himself conferred the imperial power on Vespasian and Titus. It had now merely returned to him.
What does that mean?
Well, it's just complete ego, isn't it? It's just arrogance. It's that I was always the ruler. I was always the best of us three.
Yeah, so...
Obviously not.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... That's bizarre. His own father and older brother, and somehow he was responsible for that. It's a weird ego thing.
It's one of those things I think people have. Some people have. Nero had a massive golden statue of himself, a colossus, mm-hmm. a golden colossus of himself.
Very modest man.
Well, there's that type of ego, isn't there, where you just cannot. People just will not stand anyone else being above them on any level ever. They'll even rewrite history so that isn't the case.
And this appears to be Domitian.
Yeah. Domitian's are sort of on that level, I think. So that's one thing. Another line, I think, from Suetonius, which is telling, is it says that at the beginning of his reign, Domitian would spend hours alone every day doing nothing more than catching flies and stabbing them with a needle-sharp pen.
Is that true or is that propaganda?
Well, good question. I mean, excellent question.
You know, as someone who's not like particularly biased in any way, you know, in either or against, I would put that down to probably not being true. Because, I mean, at the beginning of your reign, that's when you've got to settle everything and get everything in order. I don't think you've got hours a day to just spend viciously torturing flies.
It's a weird story.
It is a weird story, and I'm not saying he didn't do it or anything. I'm just saying he's got authors writing about him who definitely don't like him.
That's true. I mean, Suetonius and Tacitus are writing in the age of sort of Nerva, Trajan, Hadrian times. Hmm. So about a generation after this.
Yeah.
So it is in their interest really to paint him as bad, but not entirely. They don't have to. Hmm. I mean, they both mention some of his good points.
Okay.
But there is certainly an element to that, and you should absolutely keep that in mind.
But I mean, conversely, to refute myself, that is such a strange and specific story.
That's what I was going
to
say.
It's hard to think that someone just made that up and thought, oh, I'll slip that in there and everyone will believe it.
That's a thing, actually, that modern scholars, modern historians say a lot, that if when something's really specific like that, it just does give it a lot more weight. Which I think it possibly can, but not always, nowhere near always. The other thing is later, quite often, more than once, there's lines where it says that he just spends loads of time on his own all day, every day. That's just one of his things.
Sounds nice.
As
someone who gets zero time alone, that sounds wonderful.
And the other thing is that obviously the Roman bureaucracy is extremely advanced by now, so you could have someone like a Caligula who really did hardly any business of government, and things still tick over. The provinces and the army still ticks over.
I mean, it's probably best not like for everyone, isn't it?
A prime minister now where you have to be working a lot, otherwise things... Yeah, bear that in mind as well.
Yeah, okay.
There was an anecdote there... Oh, I won't go on about the fly thing, but just the idea that you... I mean, it's obviously a bit weird when kids pull the spider legs off spiders and things.
Yeah.
But to carry that on into your adulthood is definitely weird.
And then to become the emperor of the Roman Empire and have that kind of mentality,
right?
Not good news, is it?
Right, yeah. It just suggests that his mind isn't completely...
Yeah, it's hard to see someone like Trajan doing that, isn't it?
Right,
just weird, that's all.
There's one trope, might be the way of saying it, in ancient historians when they write about these biographies, is that quite often they want to present them as being good to begin with and then later slide into vice. Mm. The biographies of Nero are most obviously that. They say he was good up until a few years and then suddenly was bad or progressively got bad. And they do the same with Domitian. They just say that he had lots of virtues and vices, but just his vices sort of steadily got worse. His natural inclinations were not all that bad, but a lack of funds made him greedy, and fear of assassination made him cruel.
That's believable as well.
Yeah, totally believable.
Yeah.
There were definitely loads of assassination plots against him. Just because you haven't been assassinated yet, it doesn't mean there aren't people out there. It doesn't mean that there aren't definitely real assassins.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.